Well, good morning. It is good to see all of you here. We trust that you've had a good week in the Lord. I didn't see any rowboats outside, but we almost need some. Glad that you're here. We're thankful for the rain, and we know that some of you are here visiting with the Rooney family, and we look forward after this service to getting into the service for remembering Sister Jo, or what a lady she was. And we're glad that you're here visiting with us. If you're a first-time visitor from our neighborhood, just visiting with us because you received a mail out, somebody gave you an invitation, you saw the church, and you're just passing by and said, I think I tried out. We're glad that you're here as well. Thank you for being with us this morning. We hope that you'll come back and be with us. And we're going to go to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4, Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. We hope you enjoy your time here. We invite all of you to stay with us after this morning service. We'll get done here about 12 o'clock, and then we'll take a small break and let you get the restroom and water and things out of the way. And at 12:30, we will start our memorial service for Sister Rooney, and we've got a good program ahead of us to look at her life and remember her. So we'd like you to stay for that. And then after that, we have a meal prepared, our church prepared meal for the family and friends. So we want you to stay for that as well. Ephesians chapter 4. I told you last week we're going to start a series on the enemies of the home. And we're going to do four Sunday mornings during September, enemies of the home. And this morning we're going to talk about an unforgiving spirit. An unforgiving spirit. There was a little girl who recently went home from school. And she was very excited because the very first time she had ever heard the story of Snow White. And she wanted to come home and relay the story to her mom with great animation. She began to recount the story line upon line. And as she finally finished up telling her mom the story, so excited to be able to tell her the story, she asked her mom, the thing is, the teacher didn't get to finish it. Do you know what happened at the end? And the mom said, well, they finally got married and lived happily ever after. And the little girl responded, no, they didn't. Not if they got married. Sad thing, isn't it? The little girl would recognize that. And an unforgiving spirit may cause us all kind of harm, heartache. And it will cause us all kind of trouble in our life that we do not have to have in us. It's amazing to me the hard work we really put into obtaining a commitment at the level of a relationship should have at it, only to wind up feeling resentment in our heart. It doesn't have to be there. It does not have to be there. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 31. Verse number 31. The Bible says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. How many of you ever been inside a fruit cellar? You know what a fruit cellar is? Our basement. I thought some of you probably watched the movie Home Alone. You saw the little port, the number of Home Alone 1. I think there's 5 or 6 now. But the first time he was left at home, and he had to go down into the basement and do some laundry. Boy, it was kind of a frightful situation. He got down there, and it looked like the furnace was talking to him. He got down, you know, and sounds began to come out, and began to bring fear into his heart. And, you know, around in Florida, we don't have fruit cellars, or we don't have basements. If we did, we'd have an underground swimming pool. We'd need a submarine to get down in there. But some of you may have grew up outside of here or from another place and had those places. And it's it sometimes can be a frightful thing. It's a scary situation when you go down there by yourself. I know sometimes coming into a church, you think about it, you know, what's scary about a church? Well, you know, growing up, they talk about all those deacons in the church, and as a little kid, you might get that mixed up with demons. Deacons, demons, you're coming here at night and got to turn a light on or turn a light off, and man, you can be scared just thinking about every little noise, every little thing cracks around here. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes in our life, there are those little cellars, those little basements, those little places inside our heart that we're really afraid to go to. We're really afraid to go to. And I'll tell you, thousands of Christians, I'm not talking about lost people, I'm talking about Christians, struggle with bitterness in their life. They struggle with unforgiving spirits. And I'll tell you, Satan uses that to bring back those thoughts into your mind. You want to go help somebody that's having a difficult time, or you want to go give a little bit of love and concern towards somebody that's going through a difficult hour in a relationship. And as soon as you get in your car to go, the old devil, the old slew foot, gets on your shoulder and begins to talk to you about problems that you've had in the past. He begins to talk to you about things that you've gone through. And before you know it, you are defeated and you don't even want to go talk to someone else about their problem or encourage them or lift them up, because you are fighting battles within yourselves. Today, if we pay attention to Scripture, if we grasp what the Bible is saying, we can understand that we cannot change the past. The past is the past and it's there. You can't change it. But from Bible principles and Scripture, we can loosen or lessen the effect or the hold of past, the things that we've done in the past. We can loosen those bands and those strings, and we don't have to deal with them anymore. Let all bitterness... What is bitterness? Bitterness is a settled hostility that possesses the inner man. When I have bitterness, it's like me being mad at somebody, mad enough to do them bodily harm, fixing me up a concoction of arsenic and, or some liquid Drano or something, and I'm going to make them just come to the point that they would never ever have done me wrong. I'm going to make them realize the wrong that they've done to me, and I drink the concoction. You've done nothing for them. You've hurt yourself. Many of you are bitter. You're bitter at someone who do not, they don't even realize you're mad at them. And you walk around with anxiety. You walk around with stress. You walk around with difficult attitudes. Some of you are bitter at parents. But you cannot help the parents that you were born to. Some of you are bitter at family members. Some of you are bitter at spouses. Some of you are maybe even bitter at former pastors. Some of you may be bitter at church members that you've known years and years ago that they did something to you. And I'm going to tell you, dear friend, that bitterness is eating you up. It's killing you from within. Bitterness and that unforgiving spirit is like giving somebody that does not even have reason to occupy your soul or your mind the keys to your life. And it robs you of that joy. Well, where does that come from? The thief cometh but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But God came, Jesus said, I came to give you life, and not only life, but life more abundant. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 19 says this: Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Take your Bibles and go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hold your place there in Ephesians. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 15. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 15. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, thereby many be defiled. How many of you ever walked down a street, a sidewalk, and you got to a certain point in the sidewalk, and just everything was broke up. The sidewalk was just cracked up. And you're going along smooth, and you're riding your bicycle, you're riding your skateboard, or your rollerblade, or whatever, and you come to a portion about five, six, seven, 8 feet, and it's just broken up, cracked up, looked like somebody took a jackhammer to it and going across it. I'm going to tell you, many of us in our Christian walk, this is how we walk. We're going along just fine. Everything's going smooth, man. We're ice skating along, rollerblading along, we're bicycling along in our Christian walk, and then all of a sudden a memory, all of a sudden a song, all of a sudden a TV show reminds us of something someone did to us in the past, and we're just tripping over bitterness left and right. I mean, it is tearing us apart. I mean, it is really getting at us. What are we going to do about it? What are you going to do? How are you going to handle this? Are you going to keep going down the same path that you've been going? Are you going to continue riding this roller coaster of bitterness that whenever you and your spouse, or you and your girlfriend or boyfriend, you or your children, you're going along, all of a sudden something happens and you just explode and you go in rage at them and you're angry and you're mad at them? What are you going to do about it? We're going to have to do what the Bible says. And the Bible says, put it away. Put it away. Well, how are you going to do it? By the grace of God. You're going to do it because my faith is my victory. You're going to do it because the Bible says that we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We're going to do it because we're going to keep our eyes upon Christ and not upon the circumstances of life. Put away the right to punish someone. That's what forgiveness is. I'm putting away my right to punish someone. I'm not telling you that what someone did to you is right or is justifiable. I'm not telling you that you were not done wrong. I understand that you are done wrong. Some of you are done wrong by spouses. Some of you have been done wrong by children. Some of you have been done wrong by employees, employers, friends, churches, and you've been done wrong. I'm not saying that you have not been done wrong, but you as an individual can get victory over this if you allow Christ to live in you, the hope of glory. Put it away. That's what forgiveness is. Look at verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Then the definition of forgiving is putting away the right you have to punish someone. It is your human right to get even because we are sinners. But that's not God's plan. God's plan is don't return evil for evil. We're going to have to live a biblical-based life if we're going to get past this life of bitterness. Preacher, why are you preaching on enemies at home on a Sunday morning? Why are you not preaching an evangelistic service? Because I'm telling you, our Christian homes and families and church members are ate up with bitterness that we care not about the souls of men that we pass or ladies that we pass on the street because we are so ate up with bitterness in our heart towards someone. And we've got to get beyond this. This is an enemy of our homes. It's an enemy of our church, an unforgiving spirit. Christians need to remember that the heart of our faith, at the heart of our faith is what? Forgiveness. Explain to me what God did. God created everything that we have. All the earth and everything in the earth is created by God and the fullness thereof. And we are His and we belong to Him by rights of creation. After we trust Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we belong to Him by rights of redemption. We are His children, part of His family. So what did God do? He's in heaven. He's fellowshipping with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve chose to sin. God could have done away with Adam and Eve, but He did not. He made a way that you and I could have a reconciliation of our life back to Christ through, back to God through Christ. God chose to forgive. And that's what we're going to have to get to the point that we do. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1 says, there is now no more condemnation. Why? Because I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. That's why. Christians are commanded to forgive. Based on what? Based on the fact that God, because of Christ and the work that He did forgave us. What did the verse say there? Verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We're commanded to give because God forgave because of what Christ did. That is where we get to the point where we have victory in our life. When we follow the Bible, we follow the principles of the Word of God. He said, preacher, you don't know how wrong I've been done. Preacher, you don't know how bad my spouse has broken my heart and treated me. Preacher, you don't understand how hurtful and how harmful, how much I was hurt at church 10, 12, 15 years ago. Preacher, you don't understand what Christians have done to me. Do you understand hurt people hurt people? I don't forgive people because they have achieved the rights of forgiveness. I forgive people because I'm commanded of God to forgive them for Christ's sake. Amen. Listen, when I get to the point that I understand that if Brother James was to do me harm, and he has not been nothing but a friend, but Brother James has done me harm, it's easy for me to forgive Brother James when I'm seeing Christ and not Brother James. It's easy for you to forgive your spouse when you're seeing Christ and not your spouse. It's easy for you to forgive your brother or sister or your father, your mother, your cousin when you see Christ. God forgave for Christ's sake. We want a relationship with God. We want to desire a relationship with Christ. We're going to have to forgive, not because they have done something that they have earned the forgiveness, but we're going to do it for Christ's sake. Amen. That's where we got to get. That's the point that we got to get to if we want to have victory in our lives. Look with me in Isaiah 43 in the Old Testament, if you would. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse number 18. I know this is in the Old Testament. I understand it's talking to the nation of Israel, but the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. Amen. And we can see the principle here. I know that God's talking to the nation of Israel, but there is a principle here that we're going to have to get beyond. And I'll show you a New Testament scripture to go with it so that we understand the principle. Isaiah 43 and verse number 18, the Bible says, there in verse number 18 in Isaiah chapter 43. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. You know what? Most of us lose the battle because we continually dwell on the things of the past. Amen. What does the Bible teach us in Philippians? We just went through the book of Philippians. Sister Nelson, and we started in January. We finished this past month. Verse by verse, chapter by chapter. What did Paul say in the book of Philippians? Forgetting the things which were are where? Behind. Forgetting the things. You said, preacher, but it's there. It's hurtful. Yes, it's there. Yes, it's been done to you. Yes, it's been harmful and hurtful to you. Dear friend, but I have submit to you that God Almighty has done nothing to you, and your relationship with God is being harmed and hurt because you will not forget what has been done to you in the past. You come to a moment of prayer. You get along in your prayer closet. You get along in your devotions. You're going to read Scripture. You're going to meditate on the Word of God. And the first thing that comes to your mind is, but my spouse, but my co-worker, but my former pastor, but a former Christian. And you cannot even meditate on the things of God and spend time with God because your mind is chasing the things of the past. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Confession is going to have to come in your heart. that your unforgiving spirit is just as much sin as whatever they did to you. You're going to have to get to the point that you understand that because you refuse to forgive them, it stands in the face of God as much sin as whatever they did. You say, oh, no, preacher. They did X and they did Y and they did Z. And yes, we're all sinners headed to a devil's hell if Christ didn't die on the cross of Calvary and save our soul. I'm not justifying the X, I'm not justifying the Y, I'm not justifying the Z. I'm telling you, for Christ's sake, we got to get to a point that we forgive one another. We have to get to the point where we understand that what they have done to me, my bitterness will not change. I can ask one by one. We can start here and go here and go here and go here. And I can ask each one of you to give me one time where you were mad, you were bitter, you were angry, you blew up, you became irate with somebody that it changed what they did to you. You say, oh no, preacher, it didn't change, but I sure felt a whole lot better about it. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Oh, you may have felt good in the flesh about it. Oh, I chewed them out. I got them back. I put them in their place. What does the Bible say? Be ye kind. Be ye kind. Forgetting those things which are behind. Don't live in the past because it's going to eat your future up. Don't allow guilt to dominate you and ruin a future relationship that you may have. Some of you young ladies, some of you young men are in the point that you're searching for a spouse, looking for a spouse, fixing to make that next step of that relationship, but you will not take that next step in faith and trust, trusting God because you've been hurt in the past. You've been hurt in the past because you didn't follow God's plan. You didn't allow God to lead you. You didn't allow God to direct your paths. You know, whenever... This here is a way that you can tell that you get to the point where you've learned to forgive. You have forgiven when you can speak kindly to somebody that's done you wrong. Whenever you can just, it's just kind, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted. Let me tell you something, in the Bible, days that they used to have to, when a person had leprosy, they used to have to put their hand on the head, over their mouth, and clean, and scream, unclean, 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 telling everybody they were a leper. And people would get away because they didn't want to spread the contagious disease of leprosy. But in the New Testament, when Christ came upon the scene, unclean, unclean, what did Christ do? He cleansed the leper. 10 of them at one time. Blessed them, cured them, they got their life cleaned up, they was able to go back into the village, go back to work, they was able to go back and spend time with family, they were not an outcast anymore. One of them returned to give thanks. I'm not telling you for a moment, if you forgive them, they're going to be glad you forgave them. Because if that's what you're looking for, you're going to have your feelings hurt many, many times. 10 were cleansed, 1 came back. Be ye kind one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. You say, preacher, it is a difficult thing. I know it's a difficult thing to forgive. But I have been in need of forgiveness in my relationship before. And I was so blessed whenever I was offered forgiveness. You need to understand that when you forgive, you're releasing that bitterness. You're releasing that anger. And you're allowing the Spirit of God to live free within you, bringing joy and peace, and a peace that passeth all understanding. There was a letter written from a young lady to a pastor. I'll leave out the names. Dear sir, my father physically abused me when I was a child. He would beat me so badly that at times I didn't think I was going to live. At other times, my mom was in such fear for me that she would call the police. But perhaps even worse than the physical abuse was the mental abuse. Oh, how he hated me. He would cuss and scream and in every possible word you could think of, and a lot you probably couldn't even think of. When he was silent, the raw hate in his eyes spoke almost louder than the words. Also, while growing up, I was sexually abused by my two older brothers. If I had told anyone, they would have beaten me up, and who would I tell anyway? Finally, we got caught, and how thankful I was. Then someone hugged me and assured me that it wouldn't happen again. Right. Wrong. I was beaten again and told it was my fault and lived with the dirty, obscene comments about it for months. During my freshman year in college, I became a Christian. My life began to change rapidly. Over the next year and a half, God took me from a tremendous hate toward my father to dislike, to like, until I could say I love my father. Then I began to find out certain things. My father was abused as a child. No one ever told me that before. His father kicked him out when he was 17. That must have been very hard. Well, what about my mom? How come she stood by and let my father abuse us? Her first husband was an alcoholic and beat her, so she left him. Even though she worked two jobs on many evenings, there was nothing to eat for her and the three boys. That must have been hard. Then, she'd have to stay awake at night and guard the baby crib, or else the rats would climb all over it throughout the night. No wonder she was scared to leave her second husband. Does this excuse what happened to me as a child? No. Does it make it more understandable? Yes, it does to me. My father still yells and cusses at me, but you know what? Not quite so loudly. I call him on special occasions. I share my life with him and ask him advice. His response, not so good, but that's okay. The other day I heard that he was bragging about me at work. There's still hope. She's developing a tender heart. You're going to have to develop a tender heart. Your forgiveness may never change that person, but your forgiveness is not intended to change that person. Your forgiveness is to change you. Amen. And to better your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you buried bitterness in the past? Just shallow enough to run by and scoop it up? It needs to be buried in the blood of Christ. It needs to be buried so that God Himself has cast it from the east to the west. You say, preacher, what about the thoughts? What about the memories? And you give your heart, your life to God and bring every imagination, every thought into captivity by the power of Christ. Will I ever get past it? Will I ever get over the thoughts? Will I ever get past the moments that I think about someone doing me wrong or have done me wrong? By the grace of God, you may. And you will. Through God and His power. Maybe, perhaps, the problem is that you've never experienced forgiveness from Christ. Maybe you've come to realize that in your life, I've been religious. I've been doing good things and good works. I've been an okay person. I take care of my family. But you never come to realize that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you've never experienced the forgiveness of God through Christ Jesus in your life. Maybe this morning when we stand and have the word of invitation, if you're lost and don't know Christ as your Savior, would you come and let us take the word of God and show you how you can know that you have eternal life through Jesus Christ. Perhaps you're holding on to that bitterness, that anger, that unforgiving spirit. It's a battle you cannot win alone. It's in Christ that you have victory. Let's stand our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Brother Jim's going to come. Sister Lois will be at the piano. We're going to sing a verse or two of invitation. If you don't know Christ this morning, we'd love to share it with you. Our church has no ability to get you to heaven, but Christ died on the cross of Calvary. He'll save any man, boy, girl, or child that comes to Him in faith and repentance. Perhaps you're just enraged in bitterness and you'd like to come this morning and use these altars and say, Lord, forgive me so I can forgive others. What page, Brother?
341.
341, church.